Hi, I'm Mercy, and welcome to A Day in the Life of a Coach. Ever wonder what coaches do all day? What's their schedule? Where do they work? How much do they charge? How do they come to coaching? And my favorite is, do they nap and watch television in the middle of the day? It's a lifestyle, it's a calling, it's a vocation, it's a profession. So today, to learn a little bit more about how one coach spends their days, we asked ICA graduate and spiritual coaching leader Jeffrey Franks to come along to share with us some of the answer to these questions and probably a lot more that you might have. So welcome, Jeffrey.
Thank you, Mercy.
I really like your name. It's very unusual. Is there a little story behind it?
Actually, there is. My father, I was born in 1957, and my father had a friend who had a baby girl before I was born, and they named her Jeffrey, spelled a little differently. And then way back then, they had a show called, it was Art Linkletter, Kids Say the Darndest Things.
Oh, yeah.
And
I'm old enough.
You remember this?
Yes.
Are you too young to know about that?
No, I'm older than you, so I really remember it.
All right. Well, there was a little girl on there, and her name was Jeffrey. And my dad just thought it was really great. And I've asked him about it. And one thing he said, he thought the name would give me an advantage in the business world. And I think he was right.
Wow. Very clever and very interesting. And I don't know. Sometimes I think we're named in a way that we fulfill the destiny of our name. Another time,
yeah.
I think we step into it, I'm sure. But I really appreciate your coming on board to talk to us a little bit about your day as a life coach. Let me further introduce you. Jeffrey has a very interesting background. She does, among other things, speaking, consulting. She has a book out called Heather's Journey, A Mother's Accidental Guide Through Loss to Hope, which I'll have her talk to you about. She has a wide background in the healthcare field, many, many, many roles. Tell us a little bit about your Heather's Journey, the book you wrote.
Well, Heather's Journey is the story of my only child, Heather, was diagnosed with cancer in 2000 when she was 11, and she died in 2001. And several years after she died, about 4 years after she died, I decided to start writing the book. I had read some other books. I had gone to the library and bookstores and looked for books by people who had lost children. And I found several, and I read them, and they were all really good. But they were all just the story. They all just told the story. And I was looking for more. I was looking for, so then what did you do after this happened? So I decided that I would write one that has the story, which is just the first chapter. But the rest of it is really more about the journey through it, what I learned, and then, you know, how did I put one foot in front of the other afterwards.
Wow. What an extraordinary way to facilitate the grief and to find a way, you know, to help others with it, which is really what coaching at its essence is about, helping others.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what made you decide to become a coach. How did you arrive at this place of being a certified professional coach, having gone through ICA?
Okay. I had heard about coaching, probably 12 years ago. A good friend of mine brought it up and said, you know, you really should do this. And I kind of looked at it, but at the time, I just don't think the time was right. I wasn't quite ready. And then I have a master's in counseling. I got that in the 80s. And so I knew that after Heather died and I wrote the book, I knew that I wanted to do some one-on-one work. And I thought, you know, I need to be current in those skills again. And so mm-hmm. I thought, ooh, now is the time to become certified as a coach. And so I started with ICA, and I was really surprised to see how similar the things we targeted and talked about and learned about, how similar they were to my master's degree program. Mm. And so it was a really great review for me of all those things I had learned so long ago.
Mm.
And, you know, I wanted to be certified. It was very important to me to be certified. And, I hadn't done it, you know, for a long, long time. I'd been in the field of healthcare for 27 years. Marketing and sales. And so I hadn't really done one-on-one work with people for a long time, so I needed to get current.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. What a wealth of background to bring to coaching, too.
Mm.
Okay. So describe for us, you know, a typical day. You know, we know that coaches often do a myriad of things in addition to coaching, as you've described. So tell us what a typical day looks like.
Okay. Well, I don't have a typical day,
I think that's the case. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have a typical day, which is something that I really like. And as you mentioned, doing multiple things, I have an interest. I've always had an interest in teaching. I've always wanted to teach. And I think coaching fits so well in there. And so I have had some opportunities with University of Phoenix to do some teaching. And I do that. And I also do coaching, of course, with individuals. And that really started around grief coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked with parents who had lost children. I've also been fortunate enough to branch out a bit from that and talk to people who are going through divorce, and people who are having trouble in relationships, you know, those types of things. And currently I've got a client, a very young client, who I'm really, what she wants me to do is hold her accountable to graduate this year. And so I'm helping her with setting up the structure that works for her and keeping her accountable so that she graduates this year.
Wow. Yeah. Great part of the experience. Yeah.
So, a day in my life would be, I'll just kind of give you a typical one. I'm on a couple of mastermind groups.
Mm-hmm.
One is a coaching mastermind, and so I might have an 8 o'clock call with a mastermind group, and those are great because you do a roundtable and you talk about what you're doing, what you're working on, how can the group support you. So it's wonderful. It's a lot of support and it's accountability as well. And then I'm collaborating with another coach. And we put together a workshop called Love Your Body. And so we just finished our first teleseminar with that. And I'm going to do it in a couple of venues live rather than telephonically. So I'm setting those up. And then I might have a client or two that day that I'm going to talk to by phone. I do have a couple that actually come to my office, which is in my home. And, you know, as long as they're women, then it's okay with me if they come to my home. You know, if I had a male client, I probably wouldn't do that.
Okay.
And, you know, just for obvious reasons, you know, my husband's a teacher. So he's gone all day. So I just wouldn't feel appropriate about that. But I do have a couple of local women that really want the face-to-face, and so that's great. So I get a little of both, you know, a little on the phone and some in person. And then one of my great passions, probably my, I don't know, it's hard to say. I was going to say maybe my greatest, but maybe I shouldn't say that about just one thing. But I love to facilitate workshops. Just love it. And so I put together a four-part series on grief called An Exploration of Grief. And it's a four-week, one-hour-a-week workshop. And I've done it for some churches. I'm going to be doing it for my husband's school district coming up. And I'm going to do it out in Virginia because I have a group of friends out there. I'm going to be doing it with them, and they're inviting people that they know. So some of it is experimenting with different workshops, putting them together, and then figuring out venues of where to do them. And my favorite way to get clients is through a workshop. And
yeah, I mean, it seems like you're leveraging family relationships,
yep,
friends.
Yep.
You know, people who are, you're not cold calling. It's like you're talking to people you know already. That's a great strategy. It's a little bit easier.
Yeah, and it's it's happening, and this is what I wanted. I wasn't sure what the term was, but somebody said it about 6 months ago, and I thought, yeah, that's it. That's what I want. I was in, you know, healthcare marketing and sales for 27 years, did a whole lot of cold calling, a lot of prospecting, you know, those types of things. And being that I did that for so long, I didn't want to do that. I wanted this to kind of evolve in a natural way. And I wanted to work with people who were attracted to what I was doing. And somebody said the other day, you want it to unfold organically. And I said, yeah, that's exactly what I want. So I put myself out there.
Having had it the other way.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so this is kind of a real different approach, I guess. And that's one thing that I found is really, really important, and that's doing things your way. You know, doing things the way that is comfortable for you, the way that you feel that you're using your gifts and you're using your passions, is really important. And it may or may not be the way other people are doing it. And sometimes that takes a little time to kind of figure out what is my style. You know, how do I want to go about this? So, patience is one word that comes to my mind as you're building your world. And then I'll probably be going to meetings. You know, I might go to a networking kind of meeting during the day. It might be I belong to the Heartland Coaches Association here in Kansas City, and we have a monthly meeting, and I belong to a group called Spirit at Work, which is about bringing spirituality into the workplace. I'm also part of National Speakers Association, Kansas City. So, and then there's a group of women in the work world here in Kansas City. It's called Power Chicks. And I go to that. I know, isn't that a funny name? About once a month. So I have meetings. I'm doing coaching. I may be doing a workshop, or I'm planning a workshop, or I'm, you know, talking to people about a workshop. And I'm just, you know, I start my day. I try to start my day with some meditation. And, you know, just kind of centering myself and just asking, you know, let me be receptive to, you know, what the universe has for me today. So it's really the antithesis of what I used to do. And, you know, there's nothing wrong.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
to have a background in marketing
way.
Yeah, and be encouraging people to find your way. It's interesting. Let me just say, welcome to A Day in the Life of a Coach. We're talking with Jeffrey Franks. In a moment, I'm going to open up the lines for questions. So if you have any questions, you can
prepare them. And I'm just going to ask Jeffrey one more question before we get to that.
Sure.
So this is a question I love to ask coaches, my colleagues. What was the most challenging part of the business of becoming a coach, you know, getting the clients, setting the fees, those
yeah.
kinds of things? What was the most challenging part for you, and how'd you meet that challenge?
You know, there have been two pretty substantial challenges for me. The first one was, and can be, but it's getting so much better. The first one was telling people about it, talking about it, you know, because for 27 years, I marketed and sold someone else's products and services. Well, that's not that hard. But now you're talking about you, and you're talking about yourself, and you're talking about your passions. That's a lot harder to do. So I found that it was very helpful to, you know, kind of start small. Like, I worked on it with my husband, and I'd practice ways to talk about what I did. You know, what are the words I want to use? How do I want to say it? And then I just kept practicing it, and now it's kind of effortless.
Mm-hmm.
But in the beginning, it was a big switch. You know, talking about myself or promoting myself and my services versus those of someone else. It's so much more personal.
Yeah. Wow. I appreciate that information, because I think I certainly can identify with that. And I know from teaching in ICA and supporting other coaches that is one of those things that takes a little time.
Yeah.
I don't know, to mix the confidence and finding the right words that resonate for you and for your niche audience.
Yeah.
It's very helpful to know that someone who I'm looking at you as quite the accomplished person, having, you know, like that marketing and sales aspect that many coaches come to this profession and don't have, and
yeah.
seeing that, you know, some of the challenges that we all face are faced by those as well. So I really appreciate your perspective on that.
Sure. And I think the other one was that when I was out there for 27 years running around and cold calling and all of that, I knew exactly where my target audience was. They were doctors and nurses and social workers, and they were within hospitals. So I knew where they were, and I could always find them there. And
right.
now it's so, I don't have this, oh, here's my absolute, you know, black and white target, and here is exactly mm-hmm. where they hang out every day.
yeah.
So I had to really think about, okay, this is a different game. You know, you can't do what you did then, because it's a whole new setup. And so you're going to have to kind of rethink how you do that. You know, so who is my target, you know, and much more thinking about that, because my target potentially is much broader than it used to be, you know, when I was working in healthcare. And so who might that be? And then where are they? And how do I get in front of them?
Mm.
And, you know, initially, I think sort of subconsciously, I thought, well, you know, I've been in marketing and sales for 27 years. You know, I'll just do what I did. Well, it's different. You know, I can't really do what I did.
Yeah.
So I've had to. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said it was like, in some ways it's similar, and in some ways it's very different. It's
yes. yeah.
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Quite the paradox.
So that was kind of an eye opener.
Yeah, I hear that. And so you just sort of, when you shift that perspective, more
yeah.
opportunities reveal themselves to you.
Yes, yes.
Find people and how they come to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, where does it go? Yeah.
And I heard another coach that I admire very much, Alan Seal.
Mm-hmm.
He said one time, people were asking him, I was in his class, and we were saying, okay, how'd you get where you are, and, you know, what'd you do, and what's your business plan, and blah, blah, blah. And he started laughing, and he said, you guys are going to think I'm crazy. And we said, no, come on. And he said, I don't have a business plan. And he said, I go where I'm called. You know, I go where I'm invited. And I've never really forgotten that. It's like, go out into the world in receiver mode and be curious and be open. And it's amazing what opportunities can show up.
Incredible. Thank you so much for those words of wisdom.
Yeah.
And Alan, too. Don't want to forget Alan.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So I'm looking at the... and I'm wondering if you're ready for some questions from our participants.
Sure.
Yet.
Sure.
All right. We'll put people on interactive. I'm going to... I knew that star 6... star 7 unmute you. So...
Yeah, that's better. I was hearing a lot of buzzing on the line.
Yeah, I'm going to manage that a little. Great. It's much better. So if you have a question, anybody would like to start off a question for Jeffrey?
Hello, Jeffrey.
Yes.
Hi, Jeffrey. This is Via from Singapore.
Hi, Via.
Yeah. Hi. I'm just curious that have you ever think about in the next 3 to 5 years, what's your vision about what yourself or your business will become to?
Oh, what a great question. Actually, no, I don't. Years ago I would not have been okay with that, but I'm really okay with that now. I have a very, sort of overriding vision, and that is to build, let's see if I can articulate this for you, to build on the strengths of my gifts and to figure out creative and comfortable and thrilling ways to bring them out into the world. And so within that, a lot can happen. And I don't want to make too many, I'm going to go here and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, too much, because I'd rather, I guess, be guided there rather than looking at saying, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to close my eyes to everything else. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
It makes sense.
And yet,
but,
I want to say there's absolutely nothing wrong with saying I want a plan of where I'm going to be 3 to 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm. A little bit. Both of them have their roles, don't they?
Absolutely.
And it depends on the individual. And I think you have a great way of saying it. Beautifully said, Jeffrey, that the plan can be just what you just said it was.
Yeah.
Go where I'm invited. Yeah.
And I don't, I guess I used to think, that I was the best one to know where I'm supposed to go. And I don't think that anymore. You know, I'm one piece of this, but if you want to call it the universe, or you want to call it your higher self, or you want to call it God, or whatever you want to call that, that's the best entity to know where I am supposed to go. You know, more so than me. I have a limited little human vision here. And that's great, and that's perfectly appropriate, because I am a human being. But I like to tap into the bigger wisdom, I guess. And I've really been working in the last year on building my trust in that, you know, that framework is there, and that, you know, my needs will be taken care of, and becoming more of a receiver. That word just keeps coming back to me.
Great.
Thank you.
Let's see if anyone else has a question. Anyone else have a question for Jeffrey?
Cool. Yes, Jeffrey, hi. This is Michelle. How are you?
Hi, Michelle. I'm good. How are you?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I really enjoyed your presentation, and I'm working on becoming a life coach myself, more so a wellness coach. And I was just wondering, when you were starting out, can you tell me how you determined your fees?
Yeah. Initially, I started with something that I felt was comfortable for me, and I started charging while I was in school. And so I started, you know, and I don't have the magic numbers. I'm just going to tell you what mine are and then, you know, use what's relevant. But I started off charging $50 a session. And then I got to the point where when I always knew that when I graduated, my fee would go up. And so once I graduated, I started charging $80.
Okay.
Yeah, and there are now, if I have I am coaching right now a good friend's daughter, and I charge her $60 because she's a good friend, and I kind of have decided that there's this friends and family thing, and that's going to be $60, and anybody outside of that is
$80. And then in terms of group. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. Keep going.
And then in terms of, like, group sessions, obviously you modify that, right?
Yes. Yeah. Like, I'll just give you an example. For the teleseminar that I just did, Love Your Body, the workshop, that was 6 weeks, and it was an hour each week, and it was, I think we charged $169 a person.
Okay.
Yeah, and start where you're comfortable.
Okay.
You know, where you're comfortable saying, yep, I'm going to charge this. You know, I feel comfortable with that. I feel comfortable saying it. And this is where I'm going to start. And just start somewhere. And you don't have to stay there. You know, you'll grow in confidence, and you'll grow as you go. And as you do that, you can raise it to where it needs to be for you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jeffrey. I'll just say ditto. I pretty much did the same thing. So, if you know, two people find it as a good strategy, then there's something to it. And I think what you're saying about the actual numbers of what we charge is relative to our niche and where we are and several other factors.
Exactly.
But, yeah, start the way and step into your confidence. And, you know, I love the idea of people asking me, when did I raise my rates? And I said, when I couldn't take any more clients. And I was like, okay. Something out there is telling me that the value is increasing. So
yes, exactly.
A really good way of looking at it. But at least it resonates well with me. So
yeah.
All right, we still have some time. Anybody else for a question or a comment for Jeffrey or on the topic?
Yes, I have a question for Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Rachel from Hawaii. How are you?
Hi, Rachel. Good. How are you?
Good, thank you. My question is, since you don't have a typical 9-to-5 job now, and you're basically running your own business, how do you manage your time effectively so that you can get all that you need to do in a given day?
Yeah.
That day?
You know, it initially, it was really weird, you know, working for myself and being able to pretty much schedule my time any way I wanted. It took some time to kind of get used to that. I had to play around for a while, and now I pretty much work, I'll start anywhere from 8 to 9 in the morning, and I usually go, you know, well, tonight I'm sort of working at night, but and I teach at night sometimes, but I'll go usually 8 or 9 in the morning to usually 3 or 4 in the afternoon. Now, I may have, you know, I may go out and run some errands at some point that day. I may go to an exercise class. You know, I might meet someone for lunch. But it's pretty much within those hours that I like to work.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's not something that necessarily just happens naturally. I think sometimes you just have to kind of play around with different ideas, and then something will click for you, something will work.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Hello, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Hi, Jeffrey, this is Via again. May I know, I really enjoy today. may I know that in your organic marketing, do you use the internet or website to communicate what kind of a service you provide to your client?
Sure, yeah, I have actually two websites. I didn't plan that, but it sort of happened that way. My first website is just jeffreyfranks.com, and that website is The Gift of Grief, and so it's about all my grief services, so workshops or talks or coaching. And then recently I launched another one, and it's called You in Bloom, B-L-O-O-M. And grief can fit, you know, I think nicely under that, but I'm kind of expanding my territory. And I also have a Facebook page. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm really not wanting to Twitter, so I haven't done that yet.
So roughly how many hours you spend on manage?
I'm sorry. How many hours do I spend? Well, let's see.
Oh, yeah, that's the second following up question.
Okay. Well, I check, you know, as far as blogs, I like to try and do a blog a week. I don't always get that done, but I'd like to aim for a blog a week. And then I'd like to also put something out on Facebook. It might be something that's going on in the news or something that's going on around me where I can bring in some information or a helpful tip or something like that that has to do with my area. And in fact, I sat in on a teleseminar about social media the other day, and you know, I enjoyed what the facilitator was saying, because he said, we're getting the impression that you have to be communicating with your community, you know, every single day. And he was saying that's not at all his recommendation, that's really flooding people and, you know, people are going to turn you off. So to make a communication, you know, once a month or once every couple of weeks. So I am still playing with that. I have not found my stride there yet.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Welcome. You know, I also wanted to add, Via's first question about did I have a 3 to 5 year plan of where I wanted to be, I did want to make it clear that when something comes to me, like an opportunity comes to me, you know, then there is planning And then there is, okay, how do I want this to look? How do I want this to be? You know, then all of that comes into play. When I have an opportunity in my hand, you know, that's when I start the planning, the goal setting, all of those things. So, hopefully that makes sense to people. It's more, go ahead.
I said, yeah, I understand, I think. I also hear in your earlier response about, you know, thinking, sometimes I take opportunities on, even when on the face of it, I'm really not sure where it's going to lead or if it's going to lead anywhere.
Yes.
But I sometimes trust, and I often it turns out to be really exciting and leads to a wonderful path that I hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
And other times it really teaches me something I need to learn again more thoroughly. Like, I'll put it in plain language. Sometimes I accept things and then I realize, you know what? I truly don't want to do these things anymore.
Yes.
It just doesn't fit my lifestyle or my energy or, you know, it takes me away from other things. But I learned that in the process, and I really appreciate that perspective of, like, you know, a bit of trust along with the discernment and the decision making.
Yeah, and you know, maybe it's because I'm in my mid 50s now, but I really am more discerning about my time. And I'm less willing to get involved in something that does not interest me, or, as you said, does not feed my energy but maybe takes energy from me. And I pay more attention to that now.
Right. Yeah. As my sister, who's in her 50s, says, I don't do anything I don't want to do anymore.
Right. Right.
That's not coaching language, but you get the drift, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you don't have to wait till your 50s, that's for sure.
No, not at all. Yeah, and I think it's hard sometimes because we have a pretty demanding culture, and our culture is all about speed and busyness, and the more of those two, the better. And that's not my deal. So I've really had to be willing to, you know, find my own pace and let the culture kind of do what it's doing.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Uh-huh.
Let's go back and see if anybody has any last questions before we complete our call. Anything else, Jeffrey, that you would add before we complete our day in the life of coach?
Let me see. I think one thing I would put out there, and just for kind of a for what it's worth idea, I did not want the, you know, I wanted to be sure that financially I was comfortable. And so I wasn't having to feel desperate, and I wasn't having to take every potential client that might come along. I wanted to, you know, be real discerning about that and work with people that were appropriate for me to work with and not work with people that weren't appropriate for me to work with. So, you know, as you're starting out building, sometimes you have to do other things in addition to coaching to kind of support that. And so, fortunately, I was able to start teaching for University of Phoenix, and, you know, I'm paid well for that. And so that kind of satisfies that, that need and puts me in a more peaceful, you know, comfortable state of mind. And, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I think a lot of times we come out of school and we think, okay, you know, I've got to be a coach and build it, and it's all got to happen really quick, and, you know, I've got to blah, blah, blah. And that can be really hard.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think there are some people that can do that and hit the ground running, and they just do fantastic right out of the blocks, and I say, God bless you. But that's really not who I am, and so I really, you know, I found some things that I can use my passions in and that, you know, are not too far afield from coaching and speaking and facilitating so that I can make enough and it doesn't take too much of my time. You know, I'm not employed by someone else. I'm a contract person. And so I've been lucky to find some contract opportunities where I can relax into my coaching and then, you know, build it as I want to and not feel, you know, real stressed or real rushed.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a fan of that strategy as well, to do something so that the coaching can unfold and I did the same thing. I took a, you know, small job and did some training and whatever, just
yeah.
so that I could not, I would eliminate that kind of, you know, frenzic or anxious or anxiety
yeah.
about
fees yeah.
and making money and a livelihood.
Yeah.
And it took a couple of years, you know, I mean,
oh, yeah.
I know people don't think of it coaching as, like, often I get the sense that people don't think of it as a real business, but clearly, like any business, it takes a little bit of time. Thanks to the internet and places like that, it takes less time. But
yeah,
I love that. I want to you know, acknowledge that strategy is very, very freeing and very
yes.
energizing. Then you don't worry about everything about fees, and it's just a way to light the significance of it.
Exactly. And I had been laid off of my job, so I didn't have another job when I went into this. And I've known people that had full-time jobs, you know, when they became coaches, and just started gradually, and then when they were making enough or making as much as they were in their job, you know, they just transitioned over. And, you know, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Any which way that you come to it is the way it's got to work.
Exactly.
Yeah. I make it. Oh, gosh. Thank you so much, Jeffrey, for being
our
guest today on A Day in the Life of a Coach. And we have a Facebook page, folks, International Coach Academy. It's a public site, but we also have a group that you can join and learn more information. I can stay on the line for a few moments after we bid our guest a lovely good night from where she is in Kansas City. If you have any questions about the program itself, our coach certification program at the International Coach Academy. So for on behalf of all of ICA, thank you, Jeffrey. Thanks to everyone who came along with their great questions. And we'll see you around the halls, as I always say in ICA. Thank
All
you,
right.
Jeffrey.
Thank you, Mercy.
All right, bye-bye.